Order.
Select committee report.
The Health Committee's annual review of the Ministry of Health produced some political point scoring on Wednesday after Labour Party committee member and former Minister of Health, Annette King, asked officials about developments in the treatment of breast cancer in New Zealand. After a series of questions from Mrs. King, National Party committee member Scott Simpson had a question of his own about breast cancer treatment under Mrs. King's watch as Minister of Health in the mid-2000s.
Because I think as a ministry and as a nation, we've come an awful long way since the dark days when New Zealand women were being shipped off to Australia for breast cancer treatment. How long has it been since that has occurred?
Scott Simpson's question was answered by the Clinical Director of the Ministry of Health's Cancer Program, Andrew Simpson.
That was in the 2007-2008, and I think at that time that's when we brought in the shorter waits cancer treatment health target, and since that time that target's been achieved close to 100% across both
so
modalities.
So very significant improvements for New Zealand women with breast cancer. Yeah.
That last comment from Scott Simpson got this reaction from Mrs. King.
Beyond that, you can confirm that patients were sent for radiation treatment under my watch, which I acknowledge because there was an insufficient radiation therapist that had not been trained and we had to provide service in a timely manner. And we implemented a report that came out in the 1990s telling us that we had a shortage of radiation therapists and LINAC. So the political point that Scott is making, I'd just like to make one back, because that is one of the fallacies that was continually repeated.
I think we'll take that as a statement rather than a question.
Which goes on to the health workforce.
Labour's Annette King. Elsewhere during the week, on Thursday, Ministry of Foreign Affairs and Trade officials faced some tough questions from opposition members when they fronted up to the Foreign Affairs, Defence and Trade Committee for an annual review. Labour's Phil Goff had questions about the government's decision to commit military personnel to Iraq.
There have been quite significant revelations in recent days on gross violations of human rights by Iraqi forces, the Iraqi army, including their special forces. Will that influence our decision to continue to go ahead with the deployment of New Zealand troops? Because if we're sending New Zealand troops to prevent atrocities, and yet the people being trained by the West are creating the atrocities, that seems to be a contradiction in purpose.
Replying to that was Ministry of Foreign Affairs Deputy Secretary of Multilateral and Legal Affairs, Gerard van Boheman.
That's a decision ultimately for ministers to make. Of course, we're following events in Iraq very closely, including looking into those reports and understanding how they work. I would note that it's not an assumption I would make that those particular troops have been trained and armed by the United States, because there are a bunch of militias involved, but I could be wrong about that.
Mr. Goff pointed to evidence that he said backed up his assertions.
We have the State Department Bureau of Democracy, Human Rights and Labour issuing a report saying the Iraqi troops, which are trained and armed by the US, have been guilty of torturing and killing detainees. That's the US State Department that's saying that. It's, and the United Nations High Commissioner on Human Rights saying that, well, they condemned ISIS, the Iraqi security forces are also committing war crimes. So here we have the State Department and the United Nations both saying that the people that we are going to train are guilty of the violations of human rights that are supposedly we're sending them there to stop. Isn't that a contradiction?
That's a concern.
What advice would you give the what advice would you give the government given those revelations about the appropriateness of continuing the deployment?
I would be giving the government appropriate advice to take careful consideration into this and could consult our other colleagues and allies involved in this exercise.
Ministry of Foreign Affairs Deputy Secretary of Multilateral and Legal Affairs, Gerard van Boheman. And also on Thursday, 10-year-old Sean Roberts and his 9-year-old brother Cody presented their petition calling for mandatory driving tests for foreign drivers to the Transport and Industrial Relations Committee. The motivation for their petition was the death of their father Grant in a car crash involving a foreign driver in 2012. They were supported at the committee meeting by their mother, Mel Pipson, who welcomed the rental car industry's introduction of a voluntary code of conduct around foreign drivers.
We'd like to see, along with that code of practice, some competency test. And not a long one, you know, just some sort of competency that they understand signs and rules and things, even if it's only 10 minutes, some competency test. And we would like to ask that the government would regulate that action. Instead of it being a voluntary code of practice among a few companies, we'd like to see regulation put in force to make that by legal mandate.
Mel Pipson said their petition was intended to benefit foreign drivers too.
They're scared themselves, and this isn't only for New Zealanders and New Zealand families, it's also for the tourists and their families, because we want them to come here, you know, we want to have it, the tourists in our country, but we want to make sure that they are safe while they're here as well and return home to their families.
Mel Pipson speaking to the Transport and Industrial Relations Committee. All up, there were 15 committee meetings held during the week. I'm Rhys Lyon reporting for ParliamentToday.co.nz with funding from Parliament.